Welcome to the morning show on WRCO. We begin. We really have some great morning shows leading up to this week and into the rodeo this weekend and all the things in the month of June. And today we welcome Craig Woodhouse, Executive Director of Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin. And Craig, good to have you in here. It's been a little while since we've talked about this.
Yeah, it's really nice to be in here. Appreciate the opportunity. But, happy to talk today this morning about Neighborhood Housing Services. Some of the exciting things that are going on there and some of the challenges with housing just, kind of throughout our area. But the team has been working really hard. We've got some great folks, some great board members that are really active. But, going through some changes, but it's all good. We need to serve the community. And we've been doing that for 42 years. And that mission is still here. Safe, affordable housing is very important to us. It's important for the stability of the communities and the economy. And we're just so fortunate to have, an entity like Neighborhood Housing Services located right here in Richland Center with that mission that's been the same. It's all about safe and affordable housing and going through some things so that we can continue that mission for many years to come.
Yeah, I was going to say, contrary to, maybe what was thought for a little while, but Neighborhood Housing Services is alive and well, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really is. We're in a good position. It was, some challenges in the past few years. The economy changed, some things changed with the organization. Some of the structural things that affect us all, definitely affected Neighborhood Housing Services. We're a community nonprofit housing, agency. We specialize in housing. That really is our lane. And we all know or have heard about some of the challenges with housing. Well, and that, presented some challenges for us as well, in that we just had to start thinking about it differently. The economics have changed, and through the COVID years, you might say, prices of materials changed, and contractors, and the price of concrete right now is just mind-boggling. What it takes to pour a slab or pour a foundation, but we're just trying to work really creatively with partners to be able to do that. Through those years, it was tough. Neighborhood Housing Services hadn't built a house for several years. We did in 2025. We're really proud of it. It's right here in Richland Center on East Kinder Street. And it was challenging. And the only way that we were able to do that is through partnerships and strategic partners. Good partnerships with the city. City Utilities was really helpful in that process. A really great local contractor, Whispering Pines, helped us out a lot, with that. They understood where we were at, and we understood what they needed in order to pull this off. But we could not have done it without those partnerships. And that extends to the state as well. State of Wisconsin, was right there with us through the whole process. And at the end of the day, we were able to place a family into that home. We focus on workforce housing, you might say. That's a term that I think most of our listeners have heard that used in recent years. Well, that was the point. That was the purpose with this home, and we were able to place a home healthcare worker, as a first time home buyer, into that home. So that's our focus. Our focus is to work with the entities, the agencies that are, serious about workforce development, serious about attracting people into our communities, and are willing to sit down at the table with us, share some risk. There is a certain amount of risk sharing that has to happen in order for this to, come to fruition. And that's what I'm one of the things I'm really proud of at NHS is that we've developed some strategic partners, other agencies and nonprofits in our region in order to increase our capacity, share some risks, share some resources, work together strategically so that we can, minimize some of our overhead costs. And that's, and we're looking forward to continuing those partnerships and strengthening those partnerships. Specifically, Southwest Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission has been instrumental to us. Just had a lot of good conversations with them. They're active. They're wanting this to happen. We know that we need to do things differently. They see that. And then Southwest Wisconsin Community Action Programs has also been a really great partner for us. They've we've been working very actively with them for the last 6 months or so. Again, that's allowed us to just do more, have a better, impact in the community, manage risks, share resources so that we can build more homes. And got a lot in the hopper for the, next 12 to 18 months coming up. And for the first time in a long time, NHS is working on a housing development project in the city of Lancaster. It's a 9 housing unit development, and we're serving as the developers for that. So, NHS is near and dear to us here in Richland Center and Richland County, but we serve a 5-county region. And so we, our work will be in places where we have strong partnerships and we can develop those strong partnerships. And that project is underway and hope to be breaking ground within a month or so. And we'll be, starting with 2 houses this year, and then we'll be building 7 additional houses in 2027.
That's exciting. That's in Lancaster. And those are some visible things that you do. And we haven't talked about NHS for quite a while. Some of the other things you do. I mean, you also offer loans, right?
We do. Yeah. A lot of folks hold loans with us. And those are oftentimes second mortgages. We're really, really, really lucky to be part of a program that was started going back to the late 1980s. And again, this was born out of community volunteers getting together and trying to solve problems. And NHS was set up with some seed money, if you will, from the state. And what we do is we want to make homes accessible and safe. And so over those years, we've done about 550 projects, really more than that. Right now we hold over 500 mortgages, but those are, it's a funding that we provide to make a home safe. And that could be lead abatement, it could be asbestos mitigation, could be accessibility, could be emergency repairs, could be just a leaky roof and, the homeowner is, having challenges, figuring out a way to pay for that and get it fixed. Well, we can help with all of those things. And how it works is these are 0% interest deferred until the house transfers ownership. So if a homeowner is, living in a place and they need a repair and, they can give us a call, work with us. And then we can provide that repair. And then NHS just gets listed as a second mortgage. And we don't collect a dime until then that house is sold. So in a way, it's a great way to increase the equity of a home, increase the personal equity for a homeowner. And then, keep up with our aging housing stock. Richland County has some of the oldest housing stock in the state of Wisconsin. And that's great because there's some great, great homes here. But, with anything that ages, repairs are needed and updates are needed. And, we do, we do a lot of accessibility projects as well. And that could be ramps. It could be widening doorways, reconfiguring a bathroom so someone is able to, use things safely. That's a lot of what we do. A lot of our home repair projects become, they increase the value of the home and then the homeowners are able to stay in the home longer and safely. And we want that. We want people to be able to live independently for as long as possible. That's important to us, and we want to help people be able to do that.
You're putting together, I know, some ideas as well for maybe another home or two in Richland County then, Craig?
Yeah, we are. You know, just actively looking, you know, at lots, you know, vacant lots that are within the city of Richland Center. We're looking at lots in other communities as well. There's some in other places in Richland County, you know, outside of Richland Center. But, you know, if we see lots that are sitting vacant or empty or could be built on, we'll talk with, you know, whoever that owner of those lots are and try to see if it's a project that is worthwhile for us or something that we can do. But that's really where the strength of the partnerships come in. If it's a municipality that owns the lot, you know, we'll talk with them and we'll, you know, just see what we can do. That's the whole way of going about it has changed. You know, infrastructure is really expensive, so we like places where there is infrastructure already. If NHS were to have to pay for infrastructure build out on its own, we would be priced out. We just can't do it. So that's why the value of those partnerships is incredibly important. And you know, I've had conversations with county leaders and, you know, city government leaders here and also in throughout Southwest Wisconsin. And that's a little bit different. You know, those, you know, in the past, if a commercial developer wanted to build a home, you would just kind of plan for those expenses, and the costs were generally low enough that you could do it as a commercial developer, you know, and then just sell the home. Well, most of those commercial developers are now priced out of the market. And if there's no way that they can build housing without partnerships with the municipality. It's just too much of a risk, and, you know, it can't be done. And so housing types of all, you know, all sorts of housing types are needed. You know, whether that's, high income earners, middle, low income earners, whatever. And it's throughout the region. This is not unique to Richland Center. It's not unique to Richland County. It's throughout, you know, definitely Southwest Wisconsin and throughout rural communities. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, as the supply increases for any type of housing, you know, really that's the only way that the prices, that we may see price alleviation for rents and for the cost of purchasing homes. It is true that we just need more stock of all types. And so,
yeah, there have been some stats about how difficult it is for young people, young couples, to purchase homes these days, you know, and hopefully, you know, NHS is, you know, one of the avenues that they can turn to, right?
Yeah, we're very plugged into that. And, you know, as I sit here right now, there's staff at the NHS office, still located in the Park Hotel apartments, you know, downtown Richland Center, that are digging into the numbers and trying to communicate to the public why that is and what that circumstance is. Generally speaking, there's just not a whole lot of stock out there. And then for a young person, you know, if they have any sort of, you know, debt, college debt, or, you know, healthcare bills or something like that.
Even a car, a vehicle debt.
Even a car loan, yeah. You know, it's just really, really hard to save for that down payment. And, you know, if the median price of a home is over $200,000, and if someone would like to put a a 20% down payment down, well, that's a $40,000, you know, $40,000 of cash they've got to come up with. And that's very challenging. And if one does not, you know, is not able to put down a good, healthy, you know, down payment for a home, then the monthly mortgage rate goes up. They pay more in interest over those years. And then it's more difficult for them to save for home improvements or save for an emergency repair. And so we have a down payment assistance program at NHS, you know, and we can help with just the down payment assistance part. And then again, that's also deferred, you know, And so, you know, the HUD standard is that, you know, kind of the general rule is that if any family or individual is paying more than 30% of their income for housing or rent, whatever that may be, they're not able to save for emergency repairs, or just, you know, it's harder to have a general savings account. So, you know, if one doesn't have that, and then they have a situation that comes up that's an unexpected medical emergency, a major car breakdown, or, you know, the furnace goes out, now they're, you know, they're in trouble. And it's a lot harder for that. So we really, that's our golden rule. We like to, you know, we work with people so that we can get that less than 30% for their projected costs. We're really lucky. We have HUD certified counselors right on staff. And those folks, you know, at NHS really do a great job. And, you know, it's not just the counseling on the, you know, the logistics of purchasing a home. It's budgeting. It's, you know, projected income, projected earnings. You know, what are the, you know, credit rating comes into that. And, you know, all of those factors where it's a comprehensive counseling session that occurs over time. And anybody's welcome, you know, to engage in those services. I'd just ask that they stop down at our office or give us a call. And again, we're located in on 213 East Seminary Street. Our office doors are open Monday through Thursday, but we do Friday appointments, you know, as if that's needed, or after hours appointments, we'll accommodate those. And or just give us a call at 608-647-4949, and we'll get you, you know, hooked up with a housing counselor. And I just really, really want to make that a point of emphasis that, you know, NHS has been around for 42 years, and we're so lucky to have that service in this community. And it was the brainchild of community volunteers. And that's much, you know, that is part of the history of Richland Center, Richland County, is that citizens engage in volunteerism. And, you know, it was born out of the restoration of the Park Hotel, which was built in 1872. And in about 1983, you know, the building was in disrepair and it was kind of slated to be torn down. Well, local volunteers stepped up, formed a housing nonprofit, organized themselves, worked with the city, worked with the state, and restored that, you know, restored that into independent senior living. And today it's, you know, still to this day, it's 23 units of independent senior living. It's, and we have really great services on staff. We've got a live-in caretaker and, you know, a manager that's on site. And, it's just really served the community very, very well over those years. And then coincidentally, I was at a graduation party yesterday, and one of the folks there was the architect that drew the plans for that restoration, which was completed in 1987. And just a great, great woman, lived in the community for a long time, Patricia Masetic. So, hey, Patricia, if you're listening. You know, I got to chat with her a little bit about that project, and I invited her to come out to just give a little talk about, you know, what that project was and what the vision was and how it came to fruition. But yeah, it's just great that you know, she's around and she's willing. So keep you know, stay tuned for that. She agreed to it. We just have to figure out a time and a date. And she lives in the Madison area now, and she said that she'd be happy to come out. And she said she had some old slides, you know, some original slides. So we'll have to pull a slide projector out of the closet and fire it up. And yeah, I'll just let her give a little talk about that project.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see how it was and how it looks now. So you said 23 units, and then they're all full. Is there a waiting list as well?
The wait list kind of comes and goes a little bit. And I don't believe we have a wait list right now. And we may even have one unit that's available now or will be very soon. So you know, over the last, I've been at NHS, I've been the director for just a little over a year, and we decided that, you know, with a building that is that old, and although a great restoration project was done in the 1980s, updates were needed. And so, you know, if we have a move out, we, you know, redo the carpet and the paint, and we kind of give them a full go through right now. So there's a couple that we're just fixing some drywall and things like that, but I think it'll be ready soon. So give us a call again at the number I shared earlier, or you can stop in at the Park Hotel Apartments office, and there's and you can pick up an application. But if someone's interested, I encourage them to fill out an application. That doesn't mean they're committed to moving in or anything. But we'll just get their information, get the process started, and then we'll create the wait list as needed. But that wait list comes and goes a little bit. Sometimes folks will show interest, and you know, and then they find something else that's a better fit for them. But that's how the wait list starts, by filling out the basic application.
Craig Woodhouse, our guest, Executive Director of Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin. We'll return with more of our community conversation on The Morning Show next. NHS, our topic. Craig Woodhouse, our guest here on The Morning Show from WRCO Radio. I watch these reality shows about homes and tiny homes and things like that that have become a little bit more of a reality these days. My question is, where would a guy put all of his vinyl records if he had a tiny home, though, Craig?
That could be a problem. We'd have to add on a spare room for those records,
right,
those record
right.
collections. Yeah, you know, and but you know, we'd get creative. We'd figure that one out, Phil. Bringing me back to my days when I and my wife were students in Arkansas, and we rented a little cabin that was right off of campus, and it was, boy, it was like 8 feet by 13 feet or something like that, tiny little spot. But we made sure we had room for the record
for
player and and the record collection.
Speaking of which, though, alternative construction, that is a topic that people are looking yet.
Definitely. We certainly are, and we know that other builders are, and other folks are as well. You know, with the cost of just what you'd think of as a conventional stick built house, you know, increasing, you know, we've got to be looking at other methods and just alternatives. People are probably familiar or heard about tiny homes. You know, there's some challenges with that, but we're going to keep looking, absolutely. But we're also looking at, you know, if you think about, if you've been to like the north side of Milwaukee and you see these developments from the 1950s where there were two bedroom homes or three bedroom homes that were, you know, 1400 square feet or, you know, maybe 1200 square feet. And that was, you could say, though, that was workforce housing for the time. And then in the 90s, homes, you know, got larger and larger, not all of them, but a lot of construction in suburban areas. And certainly if you go in, you know, in the kind of the ring around Madison and those suburbs, in the 90s, there was a lot of huge homes that were built, those great big, sometimes referred to as McMansions, but just a lot of square footage. And that's not possible anymore for, you know, development. So we're looking at, NHS is looking at, you know, what would it take and what is the market for a 1,200 square foot house with, you know, two bedrooms, maybe a basement, maybe not. You know, what's the real cost difference there, and what's the analysis say? But we are looking at those things. We're looking at, you know, alternative construction methods as well. Conventional stick, you know, built homes are just kind of how we've been doing it for a long time. And with the increases in costs of you know, materials, it's just gotten harder and harder. And so, you know, we're looking at everything from 3D printed homes to, you know, SIPs, you know, insulated panel homes, and just doing a lot of research. Got a great team of folks at NHS that are digging into that every day. They're looking at different construction methods that have been used in different places, and you know, I just really need to give a shout out to all the folks, the employees and the board at NHS, because they're really working hard. You know, we've got a great team of folks, but Paul, Andrea, Linda, Terry, and Angie are the employees of NHS. So if you're listening, guys, get back to work. No, just kidding. No, they do a great job, and they're really open-minded. They talk to other people in the housing industry, and they're looking up articles and researching and looking up codes as well in different municipalities. You know, municipalities that are taking this seriously are reviewing their zoning codes. They have to. The city of Viroqua, you know, just passed their tiny home ordinance, and I've seen some of the highlights of it, but I haven't read that code yet. But the idea there is they're going to start allowing, it sounds like, you know, that some of these tiny homes, if you will, to be built on properties where there's already a primary structure, primary residence. I think there's some things to work out with that, but, you know, those are things that we need to be reviewing, you know, at the municipality level, and we're willing to do the research and try to find out ways that can be done. It's a reality that not everyone wants a 2,000 square foot home. It really is. And people may want that for themselves, but we try to take the viewpoint, it's not about what we want, it's about what the community wants and needs. So yeah, we're going to keep looking at those things and trying to find, you know, different ways to you know, make those projects come to reality. And so, you know, I'm really happy with the way that conversations have advanced with us in, you know, some other, you know, communities, Lancaster, Dodgeville, Cuba City, Darlington, Mineral Point, just really had some great conversations with folks there. And just kind of trying to, you know, develop plans with them so that we can kind of make this all happen. And so, yeah, got a number of things going. We partner with Skyline Homes in Lancaster as well. And they're a modular home builder. It is stick-built homes, but they're built in a factory and then delivered on site and then placed on a foundation. That does save some costs, you know, we're just, again, talking with them, talking with other folks, and trying to figure out how we can make this possible.
In terms of, I know some funding, so, you know, some of those resources changed with the government and things like that, and affected agencies like NHS. Has that improved? Has that gotten any better? Are there some other things that you can look at?
Yeah, so, you know, major funding structures have affected us, definitely. You know, really within the last couple of years, you know, a lot of things changed at HUD. HUD lost a lot of staff. Unfortunately, that's created some challenges for us. And then, you know, we had some affiliations with some agencies nationally that had a lot of, you know, funding from federal sources, that changed. So that's forced us to change, you know, kind of how we operate. That just created, you know, a situation where we needed to, you know, look for partners. We needed to look for strategic partnerships. Really happy that we're able to, you know, connect with Southwest Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission and Southwest CAP. I've had a good relationship with folks there, you know, at those agencies for quite a while, and that's been beneficial as NHS needed to find new ways to, you know, to pay our bills, pay our employees, and keep up with things. There's some new initiatives at the state that we're really digging into. WEDA has been a, you know, strong partner of ours for a long time. They've changed their formulas a little bit. And so, you know, it's been a challenge, but, you know, as things change, you have to adapt and, you know, find new ways to keep moving forward. And so, just again, I couldn't be more proud of the employees of at NHS, our board of directors, Barry, you know, Doug and Nancy, have been very patient, you know, through a lot of changes. They've been, one of the things that I say a lot is that we're going to be patient, but we're going to be persistent. We're going to, you know, hopefully not annoy, you know, our stakeholders and our funding partners, but we'll be patient, but we're going to be persistent. We're going to follow up on phone calls. We're going to, you know, open up communication with folks that maybe we hadn't in the past, whether that's, you know, private funding sources or state or federal resources, local agencies and, you know, community programs. And so, you know, that's just how we have to roll. But there really is no other options. So, yeah, NHS has been kind of quiet for a few years. And again, through a lot of, you know, some of those changes, you know, there's reason for that. But there's been a lot of work that's been going on over those, you know, recent years. And, you know, specifically, you know, I've been there for a year, just a little over a year now. And I'm, again, couldn't be more proud of the way that people have been patient, but yet persistent. And we've looked for, you know, different paths forward. And that had to happen. Without change, then we, you know, wouldn't be able to continue that mission, which is safe and affordable housing. So, yeah, it's again, challenges, you know, are going to be there, but the group is really, really adaptable, and again, open-minded, and we have to think differently. We can't think about this the way that we did in 1987. We really, really have to be creative. And just if there's one takeaway today that I'd like is that the importance of partnerships and everybody having some skin in the game and some, you know, developing a common goal and working together. So that will continue. And I'm really happy that here we are, you know, I guess for me, you know, a little more than a year later. And now I feel like we've got a lot of pent up energy now and plans that are developing, and you're going to see a lot more action out of, you know, outward action from NHS in the coming weeks and months. You definitely will. Again, just a number of plans that are in the works and developing and getting close to being ready to talk about them more publicly. So, mm-hmm. So I, you know, I expect to be back in here, Phil, in your studio, if you'll have me.
You're always welcome.
And, you know, with some other things that we've got in the works. We're going to keep looking here, you know, specifically to Richland Center. We're going to keep looking at vacant lots and, you know, things like that. What can we do, you know, to help the situation out? And I think it's appropriate now to really talk about those things. And, you know, anyone in this community or other communities have probably seen some, you know, properties that are in disrepair or vacant lots or, you know, homes that are no occupants. And I just really want to let the community know that those are tough. Those are tough to work with. Everybody would like to see those places cleaned up and a new home built or a home repaired, but you know, the city is very limited in what they can do at times, and it takes a long time. The city's been active, very active. The city of Richland Center has been in trying to clean up properties and figure out what you can do. But, you know, and I know of a couple homes in town that are kind of falling into disrepair. In some cases, you know, the previous homeowner is deceased, and the taxes are being paid out of a trust fund. There's not a whole lot the city can do in those cases. There really isn't. They can inquire about it. They can look into it. If there are violations, code violations, you know, there's times when they can do some things, but, you know, from a legal standpoint, that's a legal situation. And it takes a long time to, you know, get the proper access to get someone in there to repair it or tear it down and then rebuild. And so I just hope that work continues. It's tough work, but You know, I think that that's, you know, it's not just as easy as coming in and fixing it up. And there are those situations in this town. And so we'll, you know, we'll keep, you know, we'll keep looking at those, looking into them, seeing what can be done. But yeah, but we'd like to do, we'd like to be more active in that, you know, in that space as well.
Sure. And in closing, again, maybe just a recap of all the services that NHS provides, Craig.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it really, the bulk of our work is the home rehabs. I talked about that earlier, and that's so if someone has an emergency repair or they have a, you know, situation where home isn't as livable as it once was because of a, you know, lead or a safety issue, give us a call. Give us a call and we'll see what we can do to, you know, help you out. That number is 608-647-4949. And open up a conversation. We do have applications that you can get from our website or pick up in our office as well for that kind of work. But really, that's what we do. It's home repairs. It's new construction. We're going to be, you know, we're really putting a lot of work into that. We hope to be building a lot of homes in the coming years. So we'll keep that going. You know, we manage those loans, you know, all those projects that we've done over the years. We want to keep the park hotel apartments going and vibrant and active, and it's a very vibrant and active place today. That won't change. We do need to make some more investments into that facility. It's a, the facility is safe and it's fine, but you know, I'd just like to, it needs some updates. It's a good roof and there's good, you know, mechanicals and things like that, but it, you know, some updates are needed in some of the common areas. So we'll keep working on those things, and then we're going to keep working on developing partnerships with municipalities, county governments, city governments. So you know, that's just an exciting thing for us. So feel free to give us a call. You know, you can send me an email as well, or you know, call me directly, but yeah, feel free to reach out. We want to have you doing more of these things. You're going to be hearing more from us in the coming weeks and months. I'm excited about some small things we've done. We're partnering with the City Auditorium. They're also in a historic building in downtown. And part of the culture of NHS and the history of NHS is that we're community-minded and we're active in the community. So we're getting back into some of those things again. We sponsored a free silent film you know, series this year with the City Auditorium. That's going to continue next year. And that's just a fun way to get together, community building, and you know, and so just a way to get into that building as well. We're, you know, highly supportive of the historic buildings in Richland Center and want to see that those the people get into those spaces, and whether that's the City Auditorium, the AD German Warehouse, you know, the Park Hotel Apartments, and other buildings, feel free to stop by those places. There's no obligation, and the folks that are there, volunteers in some cases, will be happy to welcome you. They won't put pressure on you to, you know, buy something or become a donor. They really just, they want to see people in there and active in those spaces. So, yeah, that's, you know, a couple things that we're doing and some things we're going to continue to do.
Great. Good to have you in here, and come back when you have a little bit more information, maybe some more announcements.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. So thanks a lot for having me, and thanks for the partnership here with WRCO.
Craig Woodhouse, Executive Director of Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll talk about the working majority here on The Morning Show.